News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 19th of December, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Suttlemeyer.
And we're still getting ready.
but we're going to bring you all kinds of news, views, stuff you can use. We'll have a couple of nifty toys to talk about and
website of the week
and the poll. Oh my gosh, it's going to be danged exciting.
I don't know if we're going to have enough time.
We're going to start with the news and we're going to start with Dave.
Okay. Oh.
Because he wasn't ready.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the only one without a computer to set up.
Yeah.
Lori, can Dave ever have his computer back?
That one's toast. Okay, a few things. One, the fishing is still going on, folks. For you unfamiliar with this, fishing is literally scams and that you're encouraged to go to this other website. It might be from a bank.
Looks like it's from your bank or a bank.
Or it could be from a finance company or whatever.
And they're getting even subtler. They're saying, you ordered something from us online for Christmas.
Yep.
We need to verify your information.
And they literally, copy all the graphics and everything out so it looks official. So you think, I'm safe going here. And they do, and wind up getting nabbed on it. A very interesting report right now with Christmas coming out, and I thought this would be kind of interesting. PC World does not take any advertising or anything else from any major computer manufacturer. You know, they're in nobody's pocket. So they do these various surveys, more or less like the, Rough Nader Group? You know, they sit there and,
sure,
very unbiased. Well, they were checking out the various computer makers like Dell, Compaq, HP, and the Array. And asking them, reliability as far as the computers, what they thought about that, as components and everything else. The biggest thing, though, that, as far as their reliability, that was right up there, 12%, no problems, very few failures. But the biggest thing, though, is the foreign support. A lot of folks, yeah, whether they have a Dell, a CyberPro, a HP Compaq, Dell or whatever, the support is definitely starting to bring these companies down.
Now, it's hard enough talking computer terms for a novice, let alone trying to go around an accent.
Yes, exactly.
That's even rough when you call here down south trying to get around a southern accent.
Right. Well, that's why Dell wound up, they had the ad on, I think it was for one day, they showed this gentleman sleeping in bed, and it's the middle of the night, and he picks up the phone and calls Dell support. There's an English-speaking guy. Yes, can I help you? Yeah, I'll be here then. And then they do their ad. They come back, and the wife goes, because he's ready to pick up the phone and dial again. The wife goes, give it up. He goes, okay. But, they showed an English-speaking person, which you just don't get now with most of the companies. And like you said, it's getting very frustrating for a number of folks, trying to get support because they don't have a clue.
That's right.
And, they're... they're really lost. NEC and Toshiba claims that they've got a new memory breakthrough. NEC and Toshiba have made advancements in developing a new type of memory that could eventually replace the standard memory used in mobile phones, MP3 players, and other portable electronic devices, they said. Flash memory is currently favored by most of these devices, but this new memory will be a lot better, more durable, larger in size, and it will retain a lot of the information once the unit is turned off, whereas like on phones and all that, a lot of that stuff is gone, lost, forget it. Some new stuff coming on the horizon there, and that should do it for the PC side. Like I say, later on I've got the website of the week and a real cool toy with Christmas coming up.
Me too.
Folks
actually,
are going to want to listen.
Yeah, we all have our listening.
Before we go to Steve for his news, I just want to mention that I've now got the feed up
Of course, if you need the feed, you don't know that because you can't hear me until you get the feed. Anyway, go ahead.
Steve. Thanks for the intro.
Sure. Here's, ladies and gentlemen, our Mac Maven, a man of many parts, a gentleman, a scholar. Oh, no, wait, it's Steve. We have Steve Ray here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Well, we have some excitement building in the Mac world, that's because of the Mac World Expo coming up. There's a segue for you. Mac World Expo coming up January 10th through 14th in San Francisco. So the rumor sites are flying about what might be introduced, latest toys and latest whatnots. One of the biggest rumors centers around a new iPod Mini from Apple using a Seagate 5-gig hard drive instead of the current 4-gig hard drive. So I'm trying to do the news here, guys.
Well,
oh, there's the pot calling the kettle, Ben.
Yeah, wait,
Well, I'm talking on the line, and he's showing him something on the computer, and they're talking and laughing. And
Elaine was nice enough to do some of the news stories on labels.
No, I did the news stories. Elaine left the labels in the printer.
Well, whichever. They work out pretty neat because you can peel off one there. Side and stick it upside along the mic and not have to look down at your reading material. I like this idea. Thank you, Elaine.
So anyway, so a lot of the rumor sites are talking about a 5-gig iPod mini versus the 4-gig that Apple's doing now. One of the usual clues that a website is guessing right about an unreleased product is that Apple's lawyers shut them down. So this week, Apple has filed suit against several individuals in a 7-page civil complaint against John Doe, unnamed individuals. Working with misappropriated and stolen copyright information from Apple, basically websites that are leaking information about possible new Apple products. So it's going to be interesting to see what's actually going to happen, what gets announced, what doesn't get announced. And one of the things that Apple runs into and every other company as well, they may have a dozen products in prototyping and design, and who knows what's going to actually sell. So you might get a picture of some cool new thing that doesn't even come out. So we'll
I'm still waiting for my knowledge navigator.
Yeah, John Sculley was touting that for years. It's slowly getting here as computers are getting small enough and wireless internet. You can type a query in and get back any knowledge you want. So it's we'll have to wait another couple of 3 weeks for Macworld to come out to see what actually gets released. They're also talking about a possible flash-based iPod being smaller, and that goes into my toy of the week we'll talk about later. Playlist Magazine is reporting, along with several other news sites, that Playboy has the Playboy Magazine has released what they call the iPod. Specifically to download pictures into your iPod,
into your photo iPod.
Into your photo iPod, yes. And everyone's wondering when Apple's going to sue them. Apple has a long-standing history of suing companies that besmirching Apple's good name and good reputation.
Besmirching Apple's good name. I love it.
Clever way of putting it.
Yeah. So you may remember a few years ago that Apple sued the Church of Satan for prominently advertising on their website that it was made with a Mac. And one of, at the time, Apple's advertising slogan was Think Different. Apparently, the Church of Satan thinks too different for Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as long as they were stating something that was fact.
So it's possible that Playboy is sullying the reputation of Apple's company by putting out
or enhancing it.
Yeah, and it's really. In typical Playboy fashion, they're just lingerie and bikinis. It's not actual nudes. You have to pay to get the actual nudes.
Right.
Onto your iPod. So we'll have to see what happens on Apple's legal front on that as well,
so to speak.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites. On 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Michael Savage. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And we are back. Dave, are you done with your news?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's my turn.
Yeah, we'll let you.
Thank you. We have some Microsoft issues. Microsoft fixes a critical XP firewall issue. which prevented users from sharing their files and printers. The fix prevents you from sharing your files and printers with the entire internet. Apparently, their firewall, which was designed to keep your system safe and private, didn't. And now they will. That's kind of nice.
What if I want to print? I do that now. If I've got my home computer available on the internet, I log into it with my username and password. And
print. No, this is separate. Just pretty much, if you shared your printer and your files, you were sharing them with the world.
Sharing them with everybody.
Yeah. Whether you wanted to or not. That's not what we used to think of as a firewall, but I guess that's okay. Microsoft has purchased anti-spyware vendor Giant Company Software. Which is a great name.
Never heard of them.
In order to get their anti-spyware software, unfortunately, Sunbelt Software of Clearwater, Florida, is part owner of that software from Giant. And
there was just a big article in the newspaper. How they're going to give it for free right now, but oh, don't worry, most likely they're going to have to charge for it in the future.
Yes, I suspect that's true, but at this point, what we're looking at is the fact that there may be a little problem since they don't actually own the software they bought, and that has to be all settled before they can do anything else with it. You already talked about the fishing hole in Internet Explorer. That's pretty important. We have an interesting notice, which I did not get an answer from anybody locally, but apparently Roadrunner is going to change their speed limits. Time Warner Cable will raise download speeds on their Roadrunner broadband service next month by 67%. Now, that's just the latest cable network to further open broadband for its customers. Roadrunner said Tuesday that it will boost the download speed for its basic subscribers from 3 to 5 megabits and for its premium customers from 6 to 8 megabits. Now, according to this, that'll just be automatic. You don't actually pay extra for that. So we'll see how that comes out. The RIAA has filed 754 new file swapping suits. If you are an Acrobat user, there's a bug. Update now.
Actually, there was a bug in the 603 patch that caused more problems, so Adobe removed it until they fix it and make a 604 patch.
Right, exactly. There are some 5 new vulnerabilities under Windows, including one for WordPad. Okay. And here's a cool one. Yahoo Maps. They're going to add traffic info. So when you go look at the map, it'll tell you where the congestion and the construction is. You know, nowadays you have to go to AAA and they have those little stamps that they use.
Yep.
Now Yahoo Maps will do that for you.
So many people have GPS and mapping software in their car already.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA, has launched a new legal campaign Tuesday targeting BitTorrent and eDonkey file swapping networks, two networks which are widely used to trade movies online. I really thought, you know, I looked at this thing and I said, well, what can they be trading? You know, how big a deal can it be? Well, I found every movie you could possibly want, including some that have not opened yet.
Yep.
So this is a pretty big thing, and the Motion Picture Association of America is serious about this.
And with 8 megabit broadband, it only takes a day to download a movie now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But it is pretty interesting that we've got this new threat coming from the MPAA to go along with the RIAA. So pretty much you're going to have to plow the straight and narrow if you don't want to risk getting in any way caught by them.
Did you have the hacker story at Lowe's? Three people tried to hack into the Lowe's company's, the home improvement store, their IT network.
Yeah.
They were sentenced this week, 9 years in federal prison for whoever's calling Dave. He's having too much fun with his buzzer.
Dave's on the air for Pete's sake. How
is it cool?
Look, anybody who calls one of us from 11 to 1 on a Sunday doesn't know us very well.
You were looking at me like it was my fault.
Yes, we were.
It was just weird buzzer coming.
I like setting it on the countertop here because I always have my phone on vibrate. I never have it on ring.
Yeah, it used to be pager races.
We used to have pager races, yeah.
Yeah, and I just sit there and let it go round and round in a circle.
Okay, it doesn't take a lot to amuse Dave, and he's pretty amused around here, so.
Hey, after the night we have,
I really don't want to hear this, do I?
Yeah, you
We're
do.
We're a family show.
Yeah, well, I had my family.
Yeah.
All four of my grandchildren, who I love. But believe it or not, my two-year-old grandson was unbelievable. The kid just goes along in his own way. He's cool. I mean, he just sort of bops around, not upset by anybody, doesn't get ticked off if somebody takes this or that. He just moves on to the next thing and just boop.
Good for him.
Yeah. It was a fun experience. We always do this once a year, have the grandchildren over the week before Christmas, because I hate taking kids away.
On Christmas.
On Christmas Day.
Sure.
So Lori and I started this tradition a couple years ago, and we have all the grandchildren at our house on Saturday before Christmas. So, the, you know, of course, they're all hyped. We're going to open presents? We're going to open presents?
Uh-huh.
You know, I made a bunch of rum balls. I should have.
Should have given the kids the rum balls.
Here, the
have a cookie and go take a nap. Yeah. Yeah.
Years ago, one of my bosses had a box of rum balls on his desk, and we were sitting in talking about stuff, and we had a couple of the rum balls. Not many. We had a couple of the rum balls. Both went to stand up, and we both sat back down again. He called his wife and said, "Honey, those rum balls, did you make them a little strong?" "Oh, yeah, I realized afterwards I put twice as much rum as I should have in them." "Okay."
Well, this rum...
We just sat there until it kind of wore off a little before we went out and did stuff.
This rum I got from a friend from Antigua.
Oh. So and you used it to cook?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, these three guys in Michigan tried to break into Lowe's IT network.
You can't get them off track.
Well, what's interesting is that it's one of the longest sentences to be handed down in a hacking case, and it's for conspiracy to try to break in. They didn't actually make it into the network. They were trying to steal credit card numbers. So you get 9 years for conspiring to steal credit card numbers. If you actually do make it in, it's going to be a lot worse.
Yeah, I think what they would have gotten had they, in fact, managed to get in. Listen, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is indeed Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Dave apparently thinks he has something worth saying.
Yeah. You know the phone call?
Yeah.
It was from the wife.
She knows you're on the air.
But she had to let me know. She tried the rum balls after everybody left.
Yeah.
She goes, they don't need no stinking 48 hours to torment. She goes, they're good after 24.
So she's
save some for me, dear.
Sneaking the rum balls.
Well,
and you didn't bring any for us.
No, they're not ready yet.
Apparently, she says they are.
Well,
if they're that ready now, what are they going to be like in another day?
Yeah, right.
next Sunday, I will.
If there's any left,
I will definitely save some for us and bring some in next week.
All right,
I guarantee it.
We're looking forward to it. You may really want to tape the show next week, folks, because who knows how we're going to be by the end of it. We're going to go to the phones now. Our first caller is Seth from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Seth. What's your question?
I've got a year-old Sony Vaio laptop, and it shuts down if I ever run Norton Antivirus 2004. The computer shuts down halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that I got a virus or a worm or something or other, and I needed to completely wipe out.
No, you don't have to wipe it out.
Who told you that?
That's the easiest thing to get you off the phone.
Right. So, tech support at Sony told you that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
so I tried that.
Yeah, that's...
So you tried that.
I tried it, and I got halfway through the first recovery CD, and the computer shuts down. So now I don't have an operating system, and nothing works.
It sounds like... Is this a brand new unit?
It's a year old.
Just a year?
Yeah.
Is it still under warranty?
No. Just out of warranty.
Maybe in the power supply.
Yeah,
that's what it really sounds like. It doesn't sound like the problem is anywhere in your system itself.
Well, especially now. If it was just Norton shutting down the computer, that could very easily have been a virus. And there are ways to clean the viruses out without restoring the entire computer. But now that it won't do it on a restore, it's more likely something in the hardware.
Yeah, if you're doing a restore and all of a sudden it just shuts right on off.
Yep, just shut down.
Then that's an issue with the power supply, which is usually attached to the motherboard. So you're looking at a whole new laptop. I would water. Definitely.
No, wait, hang on. Was it a Vio laptop or a Vio desktop?
Laptop. Vio laptop.
No, yeah. Yeah, that,
yeah I would definitely check them, though. Sometimes the warranty on laptops is a little bit longer than they are normally with desktops.
Yeah, power supplies in desktops can be replaced very easily.
I would call the company and first check.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Okey-doke. Sorry, I hate to say that, but it does sound more like there's a hardware problem than a software problem. Exactly.
And they know, just out of warranty, mm-hmm. the computers know. Yeah. Well, the little hamster on the spinning wheel finally got tired.
Well, we had another person, a client brought in one of those iPads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he found it to buy another one cheaper on eBay. Because he had damaged the screen.
Right.
Yeah, if you damage your screen, you know, give up.
So he found another one, sent it, had it shipped to us. We switched it out.
And keep all his data. Swap the screens and keep all the data.
Yeah,
nice.
So he's got, which was important to him because it's got built-in wireless. As Dan's sitting there and we just hooked it up, he goes, wait a minute, Dave, come over, look. And what? Hits one screen. Boom. Up comes up the internet off our wireless internet.
Sure. Pretty cool,
and
huh?
We got through the shop. Yeah. And we're sitting there surfing the web and having a ball with it.
Yeah, they're very cool. They're very cool.
We had a customer this week bring in one of those Gateway Profile all-in-one computers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the dancing ads they did where it was dancing all around the iPod, the old iMac?
Right.
Yeah. And then they had the disclaimer at the bottom that it can't really dance and it's not that nimble. It just sits there.
Yeah, right.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't have any PCI slots. It doesn't have any Ethernet. So we're trying to transfer the data to another computer.
Yeah, that'll work.
It was rough. Oh, we finally tore it apart, pulled the hard drive
out. That's the way it works.
But it was kind of fun taking it apart.
Yeah.
Sure, it wasn't yours. What do you care?
Job interest.
Yeah, but we got all the data transferred. And then we had to get around. The Gateway had those weird partitions on the front of it for their internal restore.
The restore, yeah.
So we had to go to the fourth logical partition instead of the actual. It was annoying.
It's painful.
But
really
we got
is.
The customer's data, and that's all he cared about.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Our next caller, Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And the same to you.
Same to you.
Okay, I have a little problem here. I'm trying to turn off my system restore so I can run my antivirus to get rid of the write protected stuff. I tried to turn back and go into a previous date, but it won't do it. But how do I just turn it off so I can run it?
Well, you've just got to click on my computer, right-click on my computer, and then there's a tab there.
Go to Properties.
Yeah, go to Properties, and then there's a tab there that says System Restore.
Right.
You can put a check mark in that box, and that will turn off the System Restore function, so then you can actually...
Actually, I think you uncheck it.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. System Are you restore. Running XP or ME?
ME.
Oh, it's different.
See?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, you have to read exactly what that message says. Some of them are check it to start the restore.
Wait, here's how you do it. Start Settings Control Panel.
Okay.
Double-click the system icon.
Okay.
On the performance tab, click the File System button. Click the Troubleshooting tab, and then make sure the Disable System Restore is checked. Click OK, and then click Yes when it says to restart the computer. Now, listen to me. If what you should do, if you think you've got this problem,
I'm going to post those instructions
in the back list.
Well,
they're already here. They're securitytango.com.
Right.
If you go to that list and follow every step from top to bottom, one of them is how to turn off System Restore, and it lists it step by step for XP and ME.
Tom, what type of system is this?
It's an IBM.
Pentium 2, 3, 4?
Pentium 2.
So definitely
computer for Christmas.
Go to securitytango.com, click on the Let's Dance button, follow those steps all the way down, and somewhere in the middle of step one, it'll talk about System Restore.
Okay, so then I can run my antivirus and get rid of all that.
You should start with Stinger because there are many viruses that disable your antivirus and prevent it from working.
The 45 that are listed within Stinger. Now, you got to realize, though, Stinger is only a utility that goes after the tools that disables your normal antivirus. So it will eliminate 45 of them. The minute you get rid of Stinger and the spyware, then you've got to get your antivirus up to date updated and to do a full system scan to get rid of the other viruses and Trojan.
If Stinger finds something on your computer and cleans it, your antivirus is broken. You'll need to reinstall it to make it work at all.
Most likely.
Right, I got Stinger. I got Spybot, all that stuff.
The current version of Stinger is December 14th.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely go to securitytango.com, click the Lex Dance button, check those step-by-step instructions, do them in that order, and that'll help.
Okay, guys.
Okie doke.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's important always to run the Security Tango regularly, at least once a week, if not more. I know it's a pain in the neck, but it's the only way you're going to make sure you're safe.
And today is the trigger date for the W97M Nebo virus, the Use virus, the Asylum virus, the Cobra virus, the LMAT virus.
The trigger date is the date that they're set to go off.
Yes, so there's a dozen viruses set to go off today.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Settlemyer, and me, Nick Francesco, we're going to take a lot more of your calls. We're going to talk about some toys. We're going to do all kinds of neat stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Once again, the readers would understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer. And we're back with Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to talk about a cool toy that I got just the other day. I'm a big fan of e-books.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. And I used to have a Rocket book. Mm-hmm. Great product. Unfortunately, it did not pass the patented Francesco drop test.
I told you, it's not the drop that does it in. It's the sudden stopping.
Right. It's the deceleration. Right. Anyway, you and you tried to fix it, and there was nothing there to fix. But I just got this week another ebook from a company called ebookwise.com. That's ebookwise.com. It is so cool. It's about the size of a paperback and weighs about as much as a hardcover book. It has all the standard features that you would expect to find in an ebook.
Well, turn it on.
All right. Okay. It's fast, too. It's fast coming on. That's what I like about it. I'm currently reading Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Great book. It weighs about 18 ounces. Like I said, it's about the size of a paperback book. It has 4 meg of RAM for your use, in 8 meg internal flash RAM for other stuff. I've got a smart media card in there right now, so I can hold a bunch of books. You can hold about 20 ebooks at a time on the internal memory, so you probably don't really need to get any external memory, but you can put hundreds of them in external memory. It's got a rechargeable battery. It's got a backlit screen. It's got a stylus and everything else. Here's the cool thing about this book, though.
What it only starts at $100.
And it's $100. The whole thing is $99. What I love about this, though, is the fact that with the stylus, I can highlight stuff. Like that?
Yeah.
Is that neat?
If we had the camera running, you could see him highlighting it.
See it. I can actually circle things, put arrows, draw on the thing. I can write in the margin if I want to.
Take your own note.
And what I also love about it, if I click in the upper right corner, I can dog's ear the page.
Cool.
So that I can go back to it later. It is so cool. It has a clock, but the clock doesn't show up on the screen. That's the only thing I don't like about it. And it has this mysterious little headphone jack in the bottom, but no mention anywhere of what that might be for.
Maybe you can download...
There's no mention of it anywhere. There's nothing in the machine. There's nothing in
future.
It.
Future.
But I'll tell you what, if you're looking for...
Well, what's the music thing for?
That is just a soft button. You can set it to be anything you want.
They've got something planned.
I look on the site every day hoping that I'll find something
new
about that.
So you can download books from their website. You can purchase very inexpensive copies of the text of books.
Yeah, what's also neat is that it also reads plain text documents, rich text format documents, Microsoft Word documents, HTML files, and it reads all my old Rocketbook files. So all the books I bought in my Rocketbook, I've not lost. I can use
them. There you go.
So I've got books I bought, books I previously bought, stuff I downloaded from free from Project Gutenberg. It's all in this book here. The thing only costs $99. If you're looking for a last-minute gift for a geek on your list, it would be hard. You'd be hard-pressed to beat the eBookWise ebook from ebookwise.com, which I suspect is either already,
already
or soon
there,
will
yep.
be up on our website. Check it out, the ebookwise ebook. It's very, it's got a built-in modem, or you can connect it through USB, or you can do whatever you want. It's a pretty neat little toy, and I recommend it, the ebookwise. Ebookwise 1150. Excuse me, it's the 1150. So check it out. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to John from Fairport, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Greetings. Thank you for taking the time. For Nick, I wrote you an email, and you answered it in the newspaper about Photoshop.
Oh, good.
I had the educational version, and I wanted to bump to CS, and you were like, yeah, do it, so, which I did, and you are correct. That,
thank you.
Because
I'm correct. That, everybody listen to that part. Thank you.
Well, okay, I have
the biggest, the biggest problem
came from me.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Photoshop CS is it's $700.
Well,
but it's really, really good.
I got the educational six, and then I bumped it to seven, and then to CS. My question is I have a Power Mac G4 running a Total Graphic Arts system, and what I recently bumped it from a 40 gig, and then I installed dual 120s for the hard drives. And ever since I've done this, I'm having the spinning beach ball of death. And I every time I stand up and go get a cup of coffee and come back to the thing, it locks up. And I'm kind of really upset about that. Any questions? My my big thing was I spoke to Steve's apprentice over at the Mac place, and he suggested that I flush the entire system.
Well, that was going to be my question, is how did you transfer your data from the old drive to the new drive?
I have the old hard drive, and I didn't do it. I had someone else do it. Unfortunately, I can't afford your rates, so I had someone else do it who is Mac certified, but at the same time, they gave me the old hard drive, put the new ones in, and now every time I do something, it just takes forever to do anything. It's driving me nuts.
So there's two issues I can think of off the top of my head. One is that it depends on how they copied everything from the old drive to the new drive. OS X is very picky about being copied from one drive to another. You can't just drag copy it because there's so many invisible files and special permissions in the Unix layer, and you have to use a program specifically designed to clone a hard drive.
I'm talking to Steve now?
Yes.
Okay. You actually sold me my Panther, and you sold me Roxio Toast and iMic and all that stuff. It was St. Paddy's Day last year.
Yeah. So there's a program called Carbon Copy Cloner that's designed to do direct clones from one drive to another drive to make sure that all the OS X stuff works.
I can't even find iPhoto anymore.
It almost sounds to me like they didn't copy the entire software properly. What you could try doing is put your Panther disk back in and do an archive install, it's called. It's one of the options in the installer screen where that gives you a brand new system folder with everything clean in it. It doesn't lose any of the original data. The next step would be to erase the hard drive and do an install. The archive install is a fix that allows you to get a brand new system without losing your files.
And that's on my my Panther?
Yes, in the system installation, it's under one of the options buttons. The other thing to be wary of is if both of your 120s are on the same hard drive chain, there is an issue with IDE hard drives that only one drive can be operative at any given point. So if you're reading information from one drive to the other drive, it's got to stop one of the drives, start the other drive and read it, stop that drive, start the first drive again and write it. So if your system is on one drive and your data files are on another drive, it's constantly doing this read, write, and start and stop and start and stop. Depending on which model computer you have, you might...
The G4800.
Depending on which one. If it's the Quicksilver or the Graphite or the Mirror Drive Door.
It's the Quicksilver.
Then you're out of luck. The Mirror Drive Doors have a second controller set to run other hard drives. So you can put each hard drive on its own controller card and then not worry about the start and stop settings. Do you have both drives set up as a RAID, or is it two separate volumes on your desktop?
I didn't do it.
Is it set up as a RAID, as
well,
one volume?
Well, I just see two icons for each hard drive.
So you have two icons. Is your system on one drive and your data on the other drive?
Basically, what I do is I put one for like photos and music, and the other one is strictly work data.
Yeah, so it could possibly be the IDE issue.
Well, why is my iPhoto? I click that, and it doesn't pop. And I don't. It says can't find it. And
something isn't installed right. Something didn't get copied.
So if I flush the toilet and start again.
Well, do the archive install first. And okay. if that doesn't work, then an erase install should fix everything.
Erase install? Okay, because I'm writing here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really, I love the Mac, but this is just, ever since I made this move, this is really bugging me. And, you know, I keep getting that spinning beach ball of death, and it keeps locking up, and I don't understand. I have to hit the button underneath their power button to reboot.
Right. Something is wrong somewhere.
Is it a software corruption, you think?
Most likely. It's possible it could be one of the hard drives or the ribbon cables, but it's most likely software. And the easiest thing to do is the archive install and see if that fixes it.
Okay. Archive install and then erase install?
Well, if the archive install doesn't fix it, then you may have to do an erase install. But try the archive and give us a call back.
Okay. Our next caller is Dan from Marion, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Got a strange problem. All of a sudden on Friday, I started getting returned email that I never sent.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's not you. It's
someone you know has a virus.
Yeah, and but the problem is that what's happening is I'm getting mail delivery service, you know.
Yeah,
right.
It's a hoax.
Somebody you know has a virus, and it's sending all junk mail out in your name. So the virus on the other computer is coming out in your name, so the people are returning the messages to you because it thinks it's coming to
from
you.
And there are some Trojans and spamware out there that'll turn around and take your email address saying, and then spit out emails saying, oh, this person that you tried to email, it failed. And it's like, wait a minute, I didn't send it out. Any of those, mark them as junk mail or, you know, block
dump them.
And dump them.
Would they even have my email as the source?
Yep.
Sure. How many people do you know have you in their email address book? What's happening is the virus is going through the other person's address book and sending out mail using those as the return addresses.
Well, this one is, it's the same email message every time. And
sure.
It's a spam email about mortgages.
Don't worry about it. Just throw it out and be done with it.
There is unfortunately nothing you can do about it. You just have to throw it out. Listen, we're done. We have to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Seidelmeyer, me, Nick Francesco, on the other side of the news with the poll and the software and the thing and some more hardware on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Seidelmeyer.
And this, indeed, is Soundbites. And now, ladies and gentlemen, an important public service announcement from Mr. Chris Seidelmeyer.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that today we're going to be ending at like 12:45-ish because we have a very big football game on today that Wham is carrying. It is Denver Broncos at Kansas City Chiefs today at 12:45.
Yes, Casey has been doing bad this year. That's my team, but man, they stink.
That's okay. I have a friend who threw all the 70s
I don't really think
and
about
80s
football.
And 90s
I thought that was Buffalo's
was a
colors.
Cleveland Browns fan. Yeah. You think you've got a problem?
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you. We will be ending at 12:45, but before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the poll. Every week we have a poll on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. This last week was one about Christmas, and 381 of you voted in that poll, making it number 40 in the all-time hit list. Thank you all very much. And the choices were mostly about hardware. For Christmas, I want. The winner, of course, thank heaven, was Peace on Earth, followed by a new computer, a digital camera, I don't do Christmas, you insensitive clod, a new monitor, an MP3 player, and a new printer. This week, it's all about Christmas again, but this time it's about software. Games, utilities, openoffice.org, oh wait, that's free. A stable version of Windows, Linux, oh wait, that's free too. OS 11, and I still don't do Christmas, you insensitive clod. So far, We're looking at about 63 votes. A stable version of Windows is number one, followed by utilities, followed by Linux, games, OS 11. I still don't do Christmas. Nobody wants OpenOffice.org for Christmas. Why? Because they've already got it.
And it's free.
And it's free, and it's terrific. Once you are done putting in your choice in the poll, underneath you will see a little yellow box. Clicking on the Give Us Your Opinion link will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And you can leave your opinion. So far, it's 11 different responses, almost none of which have anything to do
with the topic.
And people are getting rude on it. I may just cut this thing off because I'm really sick and tired of the nonsense. Last week I had to cut some out. This week I'm going to have to cut at least one out. I'll just give up because it's silly. It's not worth my time or my effort. So yeah. If you're going to leave an opinion, leave something clean try to have a... Well, these are the same people who write
on. Yeah, I know, but it's like, get a life.
Well, it's okay. I mean, the stuff that's funny and the stuff that's interesting, I like.
Yeah,
but
some of the
stuff that's just spewing, who cares? I'll just keep deleting it. Mm. We're going to go back to the phone, and we're going to talk to Ginny in Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Ginny. What's your question?
Good afternoon. I spoke with you a couple weeks ago about a problem with 2000 professional laptop. Keeps popping up that the Spybot worm and the random virus are being caught and deleted by Norton. And you told me to go in and do the stinger and everything. I did all that. And then I even ran the Norton in safe mode. Unfortunately, 2000 Professional does not have a restore point for me to take out and run it.
Right.
What is the other suggestion I can do to have it stop popping up on me?
Well, if it's popping up on you, what's likely happening is that it's coming in via email or coming in from some website that you're looking at, and the good news is it keeps getting cleaned.
Correct.
At this point...
isn't there a preference to have it just clean and don't tell me anymore?
Yes, you can go into under options.
Exactly. You want what's happening to keep happening.
Right.
You it's want it annoying. To clean. You just want it to stop telling you that.
Right. It's annoying.
Yeah, so it's under options.
Preferences or options?
Options, and in the email settings, you can sit there and say, attempt to clean silently, otherwise delete. In other words, if it can't clean it silently, it will delete it. No sense of even quarantining it.
Right.
I don't understand why
But the silently is the part you're looking for because that means it won't tell you about it every time it does it.
Yeah.
And that annoying. I would find through the Outlook Express?
No, that's in the Norton setup.
Oh, in the Norton option. Setup.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay, in the Norton email setup.
You got it.
Okay, I'll go look.
I do that all the time.
Okay, Ginny, thanks.
The Norton email?
Yeah.
It's like, one, why do I want to even quarantine?
Well, the idea behind quarantining is that it's a good file that has a virus in it. Some future definition update might take the virus out and give you your file
back. I don't want
back.
To chance it. Tell the person that sent it to me to clean up their computer and then send it.
Yeah, 99% of the time, if it can't be cleaned, it means it's only a virus and there's nothing else in it to be readable you're
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
All right, our next caller is Marty from Niagara Falls. Slowly we turn to Marty. Welcome, Marty. What's your question?
Happy Christmas.
And thank the same you. To you.
My question for you has to do with the Security Tango.
Yes.
And using it on two different computers.
Uh-huh.
One, I can't get the computer to go to the website at all. And, it won't even go to the internet because it's so clogged up with junk. How do I go about getting the programs onto it to run it?
Well, does the other computer get to the internet?
I can, but I tried to take it on a floppy disk. I don't have a CD writer on it, so I can't put it. Won't fit on a floppy.
Your best bet is to get a friend who you know has a clean system.
Okay.
To download all the stuff and burn it to CD for you.
Okay.
Once you've got the machines cleaned up so that you can actually get to the internet, then you'll be able to keep doing it by yourself from then on. But it really does sound like you're in some pretty dire straits. So your best bet at this point is to get a friend with a burner to clean their machine first and then download all the latest versions of everything, including all the updates, and put them on CD for you.
Okay, now the second part is like on my own computer, I've run Stinger and Adware and all that. Then it comes up with a list of what do you want to do with all these things.
Delete them.
On Adware, just flat out delete them?
Yep.
Yeah, there's no point in keeping any of that stuff.
Now, on Stinger, when it goes through, you know, it recognizes, 43 files or whatever, but it doesn't give you any option of what to do.
It automatically
right,
deletes
it automatically
for you.
Will just delete them.
Okay, so then
Yeah.
You may want to run it again until it says no, and it doesn't tell you there's anything that it cleaned.
Right.
Okay.
So keep running it until it
finds nothing. Basically what
it
is, it's a utility that right now it lists the 45 most common viruses that will shut down either McAfee, Norton, AVG, or any of those others. That's why I said it's a key thing that after you run Stinger, then run the SpyBot Adaware, then you got to make sure that your current antivirus software is update and do a full scan with that, because Stinger only does 45 files out of 180,000 viruses.
But it finds the 45 most worst ones that turn off your antivirus. And that kind of segues into what my cool toy was this week for helping people transfer their files. There's a new class of storage device out called jump drives or flash drives or keychain drives. Little tiny dongles on your keychain that's a memory card. You plug it into your computer, it shows up like a disk drive. The smallest ones these days are about 128 megs, so it's 100 floppies worth of information. And there's a new one out that I just found this week from Lexar. 512 meg.
That looks cool.
512, 256 or 512 meg digital player with an MP3 player built in. So you put your MP3s on it, and it plays MP3s. It has an FM radio built into it, so you can listen to FM radio. It's got an FM recorder, so you can record a show off the radio. It has an FM transmitter, so you can take your MP3s and play them on your radio. And it has a slot to put an additional memory card in, so you can get up to 24 hours of music on this tiny little flash drive, half the size of a credit card.
And you hook this all to a computer that's about 10 years old.
Well, it's a USB device, so it'll work on any computer with USB. And the 256 meg version is about $140, I think. Yeah. And
the part I hate is that none of these things play OGGs. OGG files.
This one
except
does
for my river.
This one does do the WMA DRM, so you can play music you download from WMA protected stores.
Oh,
but it's really cool to carry files around. I used to carry bags of floppies and then boxes of CDs, and now everything's on my iPod.
Yeah, right. one thing that we should note is that AVG, the Gristsoft folks, have a new version of their antivirus software that you really should update to. It's still free. You can still get it free. You just have to update to the new version, which uninstalls the old version and then installs the new version over it. We're going to take a quick break, I guess. Okay. And then we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Stuttlemyre, me, Nick Francesco, website of the week, all kinds of interesting things on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Looking for fun computer talk that you can understand? Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyre.
And this is indeed Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller, Kirk from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Kirk. What's your question?
I'm pretty computer illiterate, and...
Yeah, us too.
And I just don't know where to begin, I guess. I guess I'm afraid to start as far as, the viruses. I have SpyBot, but I put it on who knows how long ago.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know where to begin with it.
I think the best place to start is at thesecuritytango.com.
Okay.
If you go to securitytango.com, you'll see on the left a bunch of buttons. One of them says, "Let's dance." That leads you to a series of steps, and if you just follow those steps one after the other, except for the end part of step one, which is really the longest step, it's really a prep step, that talks about turning off your restore points. If you don't have Windows ME or XP, then you don't have any restore. What?
I think I have 98, second edition.
Right, then you can ignore that turn off system restore part. But of course, the following reboot. But then you can restart in safe mode and go on to the next steps.
One of the nice things, too, about it, the Security Tango page is Nick has done a fabulous job of putting together definitions and backgrounds and why these things happen.
And links to other software, too.
Links to other software to help you learn, you know, what's going on and what you need to do to fix the problems.
So this is the first start as far as finding viruses, where I should start.
Yes.
Before I buy any software.
But you're going to have to definitely, one of the other key things, like I said before, is after you dance a tango, you've got to make sure that you have a current full version of some antivirus software on your machine, because that's going to be the next step after you dance the tango, is to do a full scan on your machine.
Okay. Which can be something you buy or something you can download for free. Okay. One of the things to start keeping in mind these days is that viruses are becoming less of an issue, because most of them are being caught by the mail servers before they start to propagate.
Yep.
It's the spyware that's getting to be huge and clogging your systems up so they don't work.
Is that why the machine slows down constantly?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Now, the SpyBot, is that something that cleans that up? Is that,
SpyBot
that's one
and
of them, yes. There's a couple of them we use in conjunction, SpyBot and Adaware. But just like your antivirus, they need to be updated at least once a week to know about the latest problems and be able to remove them.
That's why you need to go to Security Tango and follow each one of those steps. Don't skip anything.
Okay.
Follow the steps straight down. There's a total of 7 steps. Read through them first. Read through them first. And then when you're done, start following them step by step and do everything it says. Don't skip anything, except, as I said, that step that says turn off system restore, because you don't have that.
Okay. And then after I figure all that out and it's time to get a new computer, and the main reason I would want it is to take my old VHS tapes and put them on CDs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, what kind of system do I need for that?
Something fairly fast with a lot of RAM and a lot of hard disk space.
Yeah. We do custom builds on our website all the time.
And then you're going to need the video hardware to capture and the video.
Like an
recording.
All-in-Wonder. Yep. Do one of the All-in-Wonder 9600
Your
cards.
Best bet, I think, for that is to go to somebody like Dave or Steve or any one of the local vendors and talk to them about your needs, what you want to do, and get some quotes from them.
Okay.
One of the things that we've been doing at the Jesse Group recently is a lot of our PC customers come in with spyware and viruses and mess, and you know, it's the fourth time this year they've had to have the system cleaned off, and what can I do to stop this? You know, buy a Mac. One of the main advantages these days of a Mac is it doesn't get viruses, it doesn't get spyware, so you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And in this Frank's specific case here, the video capabilities are built into the OS.
And are phenomenal, by the way.
Very easy to use, so it's a really nice system for doing home video with and not worry about all the viruses.
Okay, we're going to move on. Thank you, Kirk. We're going to go to, you know what, we've been talking about my toy, and we talked about Steve's toy. Now it's time to talk about Dave's toy. Well, I believe we have to have equal time here.
Thank you. Well, so, not only
Craig, do you have a toy to talk about later?
I'm not Craig.
That's Chris.
I knew that. Chris, do you have a... Forgive me. It's, you know, when we used to do the show on Saturday, I'd come here with 8 or 9 cups of coffee in me. Now it's just 2.
It's
and
rough,
I'm not,
isn't
it's
it?
Rougher now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris.
To answer your question,
pardon.
I don't think that's suitable for radio.
Okay.
Ah,
all right.
Thank you very much. We'll move on. Okay. My toy pick for Christmas is Light On just came out with a new DVD burner. This DVD burner does the dual layer. It does the 16x4x16 in the plus R format. It'll do 8x4x16 in the minus R DVD format. And then, just to kick it off a little bit harder, it does 24x10x48 in CD. So you can do.
So it does everything as fast as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, this must cost a fortune.
No, believe
no.
It or not, it's only around $70.
Wow.
To have that. So, and leading you to the site where you can then ask Santa to bring you this, is, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the site that I'm talking about for this week, folks, is NORADSanta.org. So if your kids Christmas Eve want to track where Santa's headed or where he may be located, and even right now, you can go to the site and see some of the older clips of Santa and his great trek and everything else, and learn a little bit more about NORAD on how it was really originally CONAD.
Right.
And it
CONAD
was
CONAD the Barbarian?
No.
Oh, no.
It was basically a misprint in the paper
cool.
for kids to call Santa, and they wound up calling this CONAD and asking, where's Santa? So he thought it was a great idea and got it started and did this Santa tracking. And it
50
comes,
years of tracking
and
Santa.
And it literally comes in multiple languages. Yep. I mean, French, Portuguese, Italian. It's there. It's a fun site. Sit down and check your kids out. Get them ready to for Christmas Eve to check out where Santa might be so you can tell them, hey, you got to get your butt to bed.
This is a great site.
Isn't it? I mean, it gives a lot of even some Christmas music, some of the history about NORAD, and you can kind of share this with the kids. And again, it's another fun learning tool.
Sit up together on December 24th and watch Santa.
Watch Santa
go around the world. How cool is
well,
that?
Well, they literally NORAD has Santa has to slow down to literally be brought up on NORAD.
Sure, because Santa's so fast.
He is lightning fast.
He's a quick guy.
You got it.
He's got nine reindeer, for heaven's sake, pulling his sled out. He's got to be fast. All right, now we've got a little something for everybody. We've got about the $150 range from the Lexar MP3 player from Steve. We've got the $100
great
ebook-wise. Great. I saw you eyeing this. I'm going to make sure this goes home with me. And we've got the $70 light on
DVD burner
from
some great tools.
And the free evening with your family.
Yep.
Checking out Santa's progress on NORAD. There's something for everybody at Soundbites, and that's what we like. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Frank, calling all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Frank. What's your question?
Help.
Please
help. Miranda.
Help me, Rhonda. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Here's where we go here. Windows XP, home.
Yeah.
SP2. I have a website that I used to be able to access that I've been a member of for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a business trip last week, came back, tried to access the site, get the old site. Webmaster sends me an email saying, hey, we've changed the site to this. Click on the link, and away you go. I click on the link, and I get an object not found, error 404.
You use an Internet Explorer?
I've tried it in Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Mozilla. No joy on all three.
All right, one question for you. You said you're running SP2.
Yeah.
Did it originally come with SP2, or did you update it?
No, I updated. Now, it was working before I left. I came back. And
who else played with it while you were gone?
Yeah. Sorry? Nobody played with it. My machine only. My wife has her own.
Well, it sounds like what happened is the website got updated, and his computer's not seeing the updates.
Well, when I talked to him, and we went through it a little bit, and we tried to ping the website.
Mm-hmm.
So we put in the link
or
the site, and it pings back to wazooweb.com, which was his old server, which apparently is not a very good company, and very slow on DNS changes, everything else.
Sounds like that's what's happening.
This change was made December 9th. So we thought maybe it was a problem.
You're nowhere near the time when you can start complaining.
Yeah.
Well, we were thinking it was a propagation question,
yes.
But I mean, boy, that's been a long time.
No, it hasn't. Unfortunately,
no.
Here's what happens.
A month,
for everybody
maybe.
Else, when you move your website to somewhere else, there are sites on the internet, DNS servers, domain name servers. Not every machine knows where everything is on the internet. So if they don't know where it is, they say, hey, I'm looking for X. And the domain name server, which there are a bunch of them on the internet, will say, oh, that's here. And if you move, all of those domain name servers have to be updated with the new address. The problem is sometimes that doesn't happen correctly. What the webmaster needs to do is to send out another request to do the update.
All right, now here's the wrinkle. He gave me the direct numeric address.
Yeah.
And I still get the object not found.
Do you mind giving us that address? And have you tried it on other computers?
I can give you that one, sure.
Have you tried this on other computers?
I've tried it on all of my machines that go through Frontier.
Yeah.
I've tried it on my work machine, which goes through Frontier, but changes. I have to go through one of their connections to get through the firewall into work, and I can get through there, but I can't use my work computer to do home stuff.
Right.
So it may be that Frontier's DNS hasn't been updated.
Yeah, the numeric DNS is 66.98.184.17/... tilde freepoke/.
Free Poker League.
So you get there.
Now, when not quite.
I got, now when I get
I got
when
the title
I click,
up.
When I click that, I get object not found, error 404. But in my header in Mozilla, it shows up as Free Poker League - Mozilla, and on my taskbar, it shows up as Free Poker League. I've tried.
So it could be something in your computer's DNS cache.
I've cleared all the caches out. I've done a DNS flush. I've done
go
the virus
into
checking.
Somewhere on your hard drive, and you can do a search for this, is a file called hosts.
Right.
Look.
I looked for it, and my host file just shows the example. It doesn't show anything else.
Then you only have one host file?
That's the only thing I could find. I found a host that's a text file and a host that's a SAM. And both of them are just examples inside
when I open them up.
How about LM hosts? Sometimes it's called that, too.
Yeah, look for LM hosts or host.
One of the problems is what we think you're running into is that your computer is cached to the old site and can't get to the new site. In addition to doing the clear the cache from inside your browser command, you also may need to go into your hard drive manually, find the temporary internet files, and delete it manually.
Okay.
Give that a shot. That usually does it.
That should
do. Are those listed under temporary internet
folder? If you go to Internet Explorer and pull down tools and internet options, one of the choices is to clear the cache.
I did all that.
Right. That doesn't always clear everything on the hard drive.
Go into Windows Explorer. Right. Go under Windows and look under temporary internet files and remove them there. You know, down by the temp files?
Right.
There's temp files above that. It's temporary internet files. Go into that folder and try removing them from there. We got to take a quick break, so.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Stettlemyer. I tried to say Craig again, and I didn't. On Sound, and me, Nick Francesco, on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Chris Settlemyer.
And this is, in fact, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller is Bill, calling from Ontario.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The question is about Roadrunner email addresses. We've always used Outlook Express. I called the other day. They said they thought that Outlook would work. I prefer to use Outlook because it would connect with my office email.
Sure.
But I can't seem to get it right.
Well, first you need to set it up as a separate identity or a separate email address, a separate account, excuse me.
Okay.
And you've done that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, before that even, Outlook, if you got it on a computer with your office, was probably configured
No,
for...
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's at home. I was just I'm just trying to share calendar with my wife's email address, that kind of thing. So I'm trying to use all of Outlook.
Well, you can't do that. Outlook will only share calendars through an Exchange server in a corporate environment.
Oh, okay.
You can get your mail in Outlook from Roadrunner, but that's all you can do.
Well, then you can do personal calendars in Outlook. But to share
but they don't go anywhere.
Right. It's only on your computer. To share a calendar with Outlook, you need an Exchange server. And Outlook can be configured either as an Exchange client or an internet client.
Okay.
Then you could sit there and set up group meetings, and that's what it's designed for.
Right. What you may be doing is telling Outlook to set up an Exchange client, not an internet client, and that's why you can't get your Roadrunner working.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
It should be set for POP is what you want to find, and then it will ask for your POP server name and your SMTP server name.
Right, but even so, you won't be able to share any of the other stuff.
Nope.
Our next caller is Bill from Gasport, New York. Holy cow. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I need to ask something in that. I've been loading some games on my second hard drive in that. Keep it separate from my major drive in that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the games do install with no problem. They're configured. And I have two games in that I did try. And what ends up happening is it doesn't load properly in that. It puts the game in, but I can't... reconfigure the game anyways through the sound, through the monitor, or through the stick.
A lot of programs, and especially games, require to be installed on the C drive. You cannot install them on a D drive.
I did try that, too. And it still came with the same thing. But if I hit escape and enter, you could see a flash on the part where it shows you the options and everything. but and then you got to do it real fast, but then it doesn't come up where I can do it manually.
One question, Chris. One, you're running Windows XP?
No, it's Windows Upgrade 98.
All right, and the game that you're trying to run, is this a newer game or an older game?
I don't know the year. It's not a real old game. Because you have to have a minimum, I think, 233 with a 64 and or a 500, and I have a 500.
Okay.
And, does it also give a minimum requirement for your video card and how much video memory you need?
Let's see. My video is,
because that's often
GeForce, I think, 64.
Okay, one of the things you might want to do is, I mean, you know, every game tries to work on every operating system, but, you know, and they do their darndest to try to configure it so it'll work with 99% of the hardware out there.
Right.
But what you might want to do is go to the website for that particular game and see if there are any known issues running it under Windows 98 Second Edition. And the thing that I would be concerned about most, like Steve was pointing out, is your video card.
Okay.
See if it's going to be compatible with that, and see if they recommend, you know, maybe getting some updated drivers or whatever. Because, like I said, they try to, you know, match every video card, but it's hard nowadays.
Yeah, because inside the files, it tells me it will accept that video card.
Yeah, but they might have run into some problems, and they might also have some patches.
Yeah, check the updates on the website.
There also may be a patch from your video card company. Work, but games are especially hard on computers.
They are very hard. Many of them won't run except on the latest and greatest hardware. Our next caller, Joe from Buffalo. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
One more suggestion, DirectX. The latest DirectX. Maybe that'll help his game run.
Excellent point.
Yeah, DirectX is a programming environment that a lot of games use. And if you don't have the updated version or a lot of times conflicting versions, one game wants DirectX 6, another game wants DirectX 9. And
that's a great idea, Joe. Thanks.
Yes,
what's your question?
You.
Okay. I've been used to working in an NT4 and a Windows 2000 environment, and recently I helped someone with their Windows XP Home Edition system. And what the heck happened to the security tab in Explorer? It's like I went to set, you know, access to a file, and it's like, oh, can't do that in Windows XP Home.
Yeah, it's all different now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've changed it. There is still some stuff that you can do. It's just all completely different. So you're talking about setting specific options on an individual file?
Yeah, or directories, either one. Do I have to go look at and find something like CACLs or?
No. All you need to, first, are you the administrator?
Yeah, we did this under administrator, yeah.
Then what you do is when you right-click on a file, you should get sharing and security.
Oh, sharing. Oh, they lumped that in with sharing.
Yes,
these days.
It's all part of it.
It's all one thing. Sharing and security is one of the choices.
Because novice users know sharing. I want to share
my
stuff.
And it's really all under sharing.
Oh, because I was going to properties of the object itself, and it's like, oh, what happened to the security tab?
No. It's a separate choice down in the drop-down.
Yeah, they consider it all as one now.
Okay.
Yeah, there's local sharing and security and network sharing and security.
Oh, yes, and let me be the first to wish you all a Merry Rama Hana Kwansmas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right. Our next,
putting them all together.
He's lumped them. Our next caller is Brian from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hey, guys. I got two 2000 machines, and when I load AVG, the new engine 7, on one of them, it won't start up, whereas the other machine is fine. And then when I load Roxio CD Burner on one of them, it won't shut down, and the other one is fine.
Are they both the same machine?
Basically, they both got the same operating system.
No. Is the problem on the same machine?
No, different machines.
That's almost always either a virus. Well, the AVG problem is a virus, usually, and the Roxio problem is usually a driver.
Okay, a scam
or
of the
adware.
A scam
adware
of the old AVG and adware and all that stuff, and it's clean.
A spyware program can cause Roxio problems.
Didn't find
and
anything.
Norton will also.
Generally, that's what it is, and I hate to tell you that, but if you need to dance the whole tango with the newest and latest versions, because that we've seen it before, and that's almost always what causes it. I'm afraid we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Suttlemeyer, me, Nick Francesco, and Soundbites on 1180.
Have a happy holiday.